Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Rich is the definition of the quality of your life, not a numerical value, and how you choose to live it. Wise words from our guest Dan Ryan, who shares not-to-be-missed money tips for Henrys. No, not the men's shaving line, but rather high earners who are not yet rich. Whether you are one or you long to be one, this episode will surely deliver.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Compton-Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
Welcome, welcome. I am so glad to have you here. We did an episode a few years ago now about Henrys, and well, you just really loved it. So I thought it would make sense to circle back to this idea and kind of refresh our minds. As Dan mentions, the name Henry is not very gender neutral, right? So for my fellow female listeners, just separate a bit from the name and just focus on the idea. When I used to be a practicing financial planner, I can't tell you how many people would say to me, I earn a ton of money. Why am I not more well off? Or why can't I save? I make enough money. Or why am I not yet wealthy? They're all great questions, and I really want to debunk a myth on this episode that just because you earn a lot of money doesn't mean you are necessarily wealthy. The secret is that you can be almost on any salary, on any amount of money you make. You just need a few tricks up your sleeve. Dan is the managing partner and CIO at Sinceris Advisory, which is a New York City-based RIA that works with more than 120 families nationwide. He spent over the last 14 years in the fee-only space with a focus on providing independent and impartial investment and financial planning advice. In this episode, Dan shares some financial sprints you need to know and some quick win strategies that can translate into major achievements. So excited to share this conversation with you. I'm Shauna Compton-Game, and this is Millennial Money. We're talking about financial planning tips for Henrys. And as I mentioned to you, we did an episode a couple years ago around Henrys, and the listeners just couldn't get enough of it. So I thought, you know what, we need to do an updated version of this. But I want to start back at the beginning for people who maybe are new to this idea of a Henry. Tell me what a Henry is and what makes them unique.
Sure. So as some may know, Henry stands for a high earner, not rich yet, which is an incredibly clever term in our industry. unfortunately, not completely maybe gender neutral, but nobody's come up with anything better yet. And, you know, frequently these are people in large metropolitan areas in that wealth accumulation phase of their career, kind of maybe the middle phase where they've got out of their entry-level position and are starting to, you know, make what is real money to them. They are building their retirement accounts. They're building their other assets. They're maybe buying their first home. And they're not quite what, you know, would be traditionally wealthy, but they're definitely on a trajectory to be there.
So then would you classify someone who's in the Henry category as being rich or... You know, how do we like frame that that discussion around rich and wealth? And because I know a lot of people listening probably screaming at me, like if somebody's making 300 or 400,000, of course they would be. But I know there's another side of the coin when we're talking about income.
Sure. And I'm sure, you know, you've heard many times on your show, rich is a definition of the quality of your life, not a numerical value and how you choose to live it. But for many of these people, they don't feel rich, especially because they're part of growing families, part which, you know, includes expanding their household and maybe their real estate holdings, taking family vacations, childcare costs, very, very high ticket items that while their income can support it, they're not just seeing their bank account and checking account go up every month.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So obviously you spend your days working with Henrys. You have a lot of great insights. If I'm somebody who wants to up-level my finances and kind of get to that next level where the Henrys are, what are some financial tips or strategies that I should be focused on?
You know, as you kind of transition, you know, out of what I'll call the first phase of your career and you start to have more disposable income, you start looking at upping that savings rate for the first time. Maybe you're finally starting to save 10% of your income and saying, let's take that to 20 someday. You know, and doing it, you know, for the first time for many people, this is when it starts to become a real consideration is, Roth contribution the best thing for me, or is right. Tax deferred the best asset and more beneficial? You know, now they're experiencing high income tax levels and shifting that thinking. Maybe they're, you know, starting to hit contribution maximums for their 401k for the first time. And I know that's a big achievement in and of itself in your career. And we'd like to give people credit for accomplishing that.
Sure.
And this is the first time where you can, you know, that fresh out of college budget you set obviously has blown out, and maybe you need to revisit it and give yourself a little bit more leeway, but still say, you know, I'm conscious of what I'm spending, and I'm going to have a conscious savings number that I'm working towards, and, you know, just kind of be methodical about your financial picture again.
So being maybe more intentional with the money steps that you're doing, the money you're saving, where your money's going, all of that stuff, right?
Absolutely. You know, we're coming off of a year where people accumulated cash and they couldn't figure out why they accumulated cash, and it's because they couldn't do anything. But now that, you know, life might have some return to normalcy, saying what is normal for me, and can I keep this, you know, momentum? I feel we had kind of a once in generational savings opportunity in the past 12 months. And can I keep this momentum and, you know, set up those automated transfers that maybe I didn't have before? Is money going to my savings and my brokerage every month? And that I can live without, kind of.
Yeah, for sure. And with like the Henrys that come to you for financial help, what are some of the areas where Henrys may struggle, where they really need like a financial advisor to come in and help tweak things?
Yeah, I would say that it's very much mindset. First of all, being tax focused, taxes being a big part of your world for the first time, you know, not chasing a stock that right. was a short-term gain, and they're like, great, I made $1,000 on this. And you're like, well, you got to get 400 of it back now. It doesn't Surprise. Feel quite as good. Was that really worth your time and your anxiety? And saying, you know, I'm in the second phase of my investing career. Most people have a retirement account and that's been their only investing, but now they're willing, you know, to invest in a traditional brokerage account, or this is my long-term important money. Maybe it will be for goals that are 5 to 10 years out, but it also has liquidity in it. It's not just right. going to sit there till I'm 60.
Yeah, for sure. So how did you decide to start working with Henrys? Like, was this a conscious decision, or did you just kind of fall into this path?
This was very much a conscious decision. I've worked my whole career in kind of the fee-only wealth management space, for that matter. When I started my career, that was a space that was only for the kind of ultra-wealthy, ultra-high net worth clients, because frankly, they were the only ones that knew to look for that kind of advice and could afford to. And so I worked at, you know, big firms and, you know, worked with an average portfolio that was $8, $9 million. And my average client age was 76 years old. And I left that kind of that industry in that space 2 years ago and started from scratch on my own. And overnight, my average client age was 36 years old.
Dramatic difference.
Dramatic. And a lot of advisors talk about this Henry space and how they can get into it. And the reality is you just have to believe in it, and you have to be willing to commit to it and take some chances on it, on your beliefs.
Yeah, for sure. And you talked about last year, obviously, year and a half has been a complete unique situation scenario for all of us. Curious, did you have any personal like money revelations or aha moments over the last year and a half? I mean, I know you're a financial advisor, but I know myself, even as a money expert, like sometimes I have things that pop up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't think about that. Maybe I should have known about that.
Yeah, two things, I guess. One is I've never been a fan of real estate. it serves a function, and you can imagine in the past year, I felt more like a real estate agent than a financial advisor, as everyone had a real estate craze. I speak to you currently from our small little beach house at the Jersey Shore, where my wife had before I met her, and I complained about for many years, and I've lost that battle for forevermore because it was very convenient during the past 12 months. I've reframed about how I think about real estate, and never to begrudge people what brings them happiness, and that can be real estate. And the other big changes, I've always kind of had one eye to ESG investing,
Yeah.
But my clients in the past 12 months have really had time to drill in on this. And I've been able to really improve the work I feel we do on this and connect to people about what their actual values are, not just saying, oh, you want ESG, let's flip the switch and you own less weapons and tobacco and you should go feel good about that. But say, really, what are the causes that matter to you? Because at the beginning of all this last March, when we had some big pullbacks in portfolios, I had some clients that had ESG tilts in their portfolios. And I reached out to them as I would and said, you're kind of down 40, 50% here. How do you feel about this? And the response was, well, I know why we did that. And I feel good about those causes. And I feel good that that will still be the future. And of course it came back and then some. So that was a big learning experience for me. I went and made changes to my portfolio to reflect my values because of that.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about ESG. We've talked about that a little bit on the show, but tell me, like, what does that really mean?
Yeah. So ESG is environmental social governance. And, you know, traditionally this was having a social impact with your investments, supporting companies that are making improvements in this area, that are environmentally conscious, have, you know, low carbon emissions commitments, and treat their employees well, have a track record of treating their employees well, have gender diversity and racial diversity, and support causes like that. And for a lot of people, this means, in their mind, means supporting companies that are going to continue to change these things going forward, as opposed to just don't let's not own the bad companies, which is it's kind of easy to do.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money, with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
We have an Ask Shauna. This one comes from Jenna. Jenna says, "Hey, Shauna, I very recently started listening to your podcast, and I love it. I'm currently listening to Find Happiness and Ditch Settling, and that has really hit me personally because I've been so insecure to build, flip, sell, which I love, and someone asked about her emergency savings, and it made me think of the question. I have 1 month's worth of income in my emergency savings currently and have an Acorns account too, but I don't have any sort of saving for retirement, and I want the ability to retire early. I have about $1,000 extra in my savings.
And I'm trying to decide if I should move that money to a broker and start that for retirement because I'm not yet qualified for work to start a 401k. Almost, but not quite been there a year yet. Your opinion would mean so much to me. Thank you so much. Jenna, so glad to have you in the MMP community. You are more than welcome and congrats on all your hard work. This is absolutely fantastic. And this is a great question and one that definitely is really personal because there isn't necessarily a right or wrong answer here. We're looking at two good things. We're looking at saving versus investing, and those are both great things. So there isn't a bad or a negative to this scenario, but I want to give you some things to think about. First, with your 401k, my first question to you is, does your company offer a match? If yes, I might think about waiting until you hit that year mark because you said you were kind of close to start investing in the 401k and take advantage of that match. It's really something you don't get anywhere else. So I always encourage everyone, if you have a match, at least invest up to that match. If not, if that's not an option, then you're kind of looking at it this way. You can contribute more to your 401k than you can to a Roth or an IRA. So depending on what your goals are and how much you want to save, that will maybe sway you one way or another. Again, there isn't necessarily a right or wrong answer. There's just preferences, and it comes down to what you want to invest in, what matters to you, right? There's also this tipping point I want to talk about with savings versus investing. So yes, you want to make sure you have a strong emergency fund, which it sounds like you're off to a great start. You might think about saving 2 to 3 months just to have an extra bit in there, but above that, I'd start investing. You want to make sure that some of your money is growing and growing beyond the 0 to 2% that you're going to get in any kind of savings account. That money is not keeping up with inflation. So we've got to get some bucket of money growing. And you are young enough that if you start investing even a small amount of money right now, in 20, 30 years, it's going to blow your mind what it can grow to. Yes, the market's going to ebb and flow, but the numbers are definitely on your side. You can always opt for a robo-advisor like LVEST or Betterment or Wealthfront. If you want to set up a Roth or IRA, if you choose 401k route, then you'll have to make a selection from the options available wherever you work. One thing I want to say is I'm a big fan, if you do go the 401k route, of a company called Bloom. It's with three O's, and they help you select the best 401k options based on your risk tolerance. So they look at everything in your 401k and say, hey, based on how risky you want to be, here's the portfolio we might suggest. Yes, they do this for a fee, but I think it is one of the best ways to help you really select the options, especially if you're new to investing. But whatever way you slice this, you're going to be making a smart money move. So Jenna, again, congratulations on all your success. And if you have an Ask Shauna question, just head right on over to the show notes. There's a link right there. You can enter your question. And if you want to remain anonymous, just let me know and happy to do so. Dan's got so much more to share with you about Henry's, so let's jump back in. So, like, if somebody's interested in investing in ESG, is the best advice to just figure out, again, kind of the process that you did, like, what are my values and what are the companies that really align with my values?
Yeah, it's great to sit down and say what are my values. One thing, again, that we've learned in the past year is you can't have everything at once, right?
No, come on, Dan. Don't spoil it for us.
Yeah, I know. For instance, two big issues with clients are climate change, and in that regard, alternative energy, and gender diversity. And right. We've found that sometimes alternative energy companies are not the best at having gender diversity in their leadership. And we've had to take a step back and say, which one of these causes is more important? Can we separate these in our mind? Can we do something on both fronts, or just say, look, we this is not something we want to pursue, or we don't want to support certain companies if they don't meet all our objectives. So yeah. It's a bigger dive there.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you start to really unpack it all and figure out what's important to you and how that lines up with companies and what you're willing to maybe sacrifice on and what you aren't. And you brought up the story where you were saying that some of your clients who were ESG and it was down 40-50% and they were like, I'm okay with it because I made this conscious decision. And we live, I feel like right now, in this complete environment of FOMO with investors, cryptocurrency, you name it. I mean, everyone feels like they should have been someplace that maybe they weren't, or maybe they're going to get rich off something. And I think that story you shared about ESG, like that's a real mindset shift around investing. So what sort of advice would you have around like dealing with our emotions when it comes to investing and really understanding why and what we're invested in?
Sure. It's funny you allude to it, kind of what's been this trend in the past year, the boredom markets hypothesis. The more fun something is, the more it should go up. And for many people, this ESG thing has been fun in the regards that it's been meaningful to them to explore their values and to talk about these things. And again, I'm in the early stages here of a hypothesis that when we have down markets, which we will, you know, that we will experience another 20% down market someday in our lives, that this will be another component that people look back to just the same as they look back to their asset allocation. And did I have enough bonds? And did I not experience the full brunt of this down market? Did I have the right risk tolerance? I think they'll go hand in hand. And it's just an evolution of that. You know, am I doing the right things? Am I constructing my portfolio well? Do I have thematic tilts that express my ideas and what I think about the world? And do I have tilts that express my values and my personal right. objectives?
Yeah. And I know we have a lot of new investors that listen to the show that are either just starting to invest or really want to, but are not sure where to start. What would you say to somebody who's in that position where they're just not sure what to pick, where to start? I mean, obviously, don't give us, you know, a particular stock to invest in or fund, but how would you encourage somebody to kind of get over that threshold?
Yeah. Not to say just start, but we've all heard the stories of the person who said, "Oh, I remember when I first heard of Netflix, I knew this was going to be the next big thing." or Beyond Burgers, I knew were going to be huge. These are companies I believe in. And I tell people it's your money and it should reflect you. And doing things with your money that reflect you and investments that reflect your best thinking, your ideas, is an incredibly empowering experience. And do your research, do your homework as you would with anything that's important to you. You would read Amazon reviews before you'd buy a new microwave. You do that research, and then you, at some point, you make the decision to participate, and you'll have an investing experience, and good or bad, you will be wiser for it, and it will become part of your experience that you'll draw on. And the next time you think you have a hot stock idea or a hot thematic idea, you'll be able to draw back on that first experience and that research you did and say, how can I refine this? How can I be better? And I'm a big believer that having a process is better than a lack of a process.
Right. I always tell people, like, I live in Los Angeles. If I was to drive to New York, I wouldn't just start out without any GPS. Like, I need some sort of roadmap to get me there. And it's the same thing when it comes to your money. I mean, you're going to make twists and turns and have to make U-turns and all sorts of things, but we need some sort of direction of everything that we're going towards.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you were to, say, put together a punch list, if you will, of money steps to take. We're all kind of rolling out of this pandemic, and whether we're a Henry or not, what do you think are some important things for us to focus on the rest of 2021? Obviously, we're getting now back into a place where everything is opening up. We're going to start spending money again. How do we balance that all and still be really smart, make smart money moves?
Sure. To borrow terminology a little bit, thinking of it as kind of a checkup you would get at your doctor, if you're like me and you're my age, kind of as older middle-aged millennials, I guess we are, you go to the doctor and you get a blood exam and they give you the numbers and you just want to look at your numbers and know how you're doing and freak out in your own head before he gives you a call and tells you you're fine. In that regard, there's some numbers you can look at. You can look at what is my spending rate? I mean, what's my burn rate? How much am I spending of my income? How much am I saving? I tell people, you're in your 30s. Now you need to be saving 10%, and we're going to get that to 20% by the time you're 50. We're going to kind of trajectory that. And when you're 60, we'll take it to 30%. What is my savings rate? What's my debt rate? Obviously that's probably foremost bringing that down. We come from a generation that had a lot of student loan debt. So some of that's been unavoidable, but, these are the things I can do with my money. How much is going to that retirement bucket? How much is going into tax deferred? How much is going into Roth? How much is going into after tax money? Just kind of putting numbers around this. So you know where you're at and where you'd like to be. I'm not going to tell anybody overnight they have to hit all these targets. But once life is kind of returning to a normalcy, knowing like this is my base case and this is where I'm going.
I like what you're saying, because it's about a sort of gentle, we're stepping up as we go. And so, like you said, we're not doing everything overnight. And I think that's a really healthy approach. And you were talking about student loan debt, and I'm curious, when we look at Henry's, is student loan debt, even though maybe they're earning a high income, is that usually still a part of the plan that we're trying to get student loan debt paid off? Because I think there's this maybe illusion that the more money we make, we're not going to have any debt, and it's just going to be easy to wipe everything away.
Yeah. There's good debt and bad debt. And I've always said, think of the interest rate you pay on debt as a negative rate of return. And if you're able to get a better positive rate of return, then maybe your money is better deployed there. But, in coming off a couple of years where we've seen double digit positive rates of return, it's felt like that was the better thing to do with your money. But going forward, where we might see a muted return environment where we're getting 6-7% returns, still great returns. If you have debt that's 7-9%, maybe it makes sense to start paying some of that off, especially when you are entering your highest earning years and you're not getting a deduction for that student loan interest anymore. And it's just pure debt. There's no tax benefit to it. And so we're constantly doing that. Frankly, a lot of times people are just looking for permission to pay off debt. There's this fear that paying off debt is some irrevocable decision that they'll never be able to undo. The classic example is that you talk to the people with $60,000 in their checking account and $20,000 on their credit card. And you're like, do you understand how interest rates work? But yes, you have permission to pay off that credit card. Please pay off that credit card. And so that is, not uncommon. Very smart people find themselves in that trap.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you start thinking about it from that perspective. And I know you're a fee-only advisor. Tell me a little bit, what does that mean, fee-only? If someone's working with you, like, what sort of service are they getting?
I work with people as an advocate. They're part of my team, part of my network and my family. And because they know that the fee they're paying me is the only compensation I'm receiving, I'm always going to be going out and getting the best solutions for them. I have no conflicts. I'm not receiving compensation from anywhere. I'm not incentivized to do anything. I work for them. And I tell my clients that if they wake up in the middle of the night and something's keeping them up and there's a dollar sign involved, to just shoot me an email and go back to sleep, and I'll get to work at it in the morning. I'm part of your team. I work for you. And so I think my clients find a lot of solace in that I'm not trying to be everything to everyone. I have my clients who I work with. I will cap out at 70 clients in my career. That's all the people I can serve.
That's so interesting. I like that. On your team, that's such a different mindset shift when you're working with someone. And I like that. Let me know what your issue is. Go back to sleep and I'll take care of it in the morning. Well, Dan, this has been so insightful. I like to end every episode with an actionable money tip, idea, strategy, tool, anything that you think we need to know about right now. So what's something you want the Millennial Money listeners to walk away with?
We'll be very topical and talk about your crypto holdings that everybody seems to have in the past year.
Everybody's a crypto expert.
Yeah, everybody's a crypto expert. Everybody has some. And now, at the time of recording this, everybody might have some losses in their crypto holdings. And now is the time to think about, is it worth harvesting those losses and offsetting gains that maybe you made in your Robinhood portfolio this year? It's first time to be thoughtful of taxes. Just because, you know, just because you made $60,000 on Dogecoin doesn't mean you just want a Tesla. There's taxes associated with that. And our government has signaled that they will be paying a lot more attention to that. So now's a good time to start thinking about the not fun part of the boredom markets hypothesis, the paying taxes part.
Well, Dan, again, this has been so great. Tell the listeners, if they're interested, where they can go to find you and connect with you.
Yeah, I am a partner at Sinceris Advisory, S-I-N-C-E-R-U-S, and you can find us at SincerisADV, as in advisor.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. And yeah, thank you, Shauna.
I really like how Dan was talking about this idea of money buckets. That's how I suggest you think of things. It's always how I talk to my friends and how I would talk to clients about this. You've got all these different buckets and they have all a different purpose when it comes to your money and your goals. So I want to encourage you today, go out there, start building your buckets and start thinking like a Henry. But I want to make you a high earner who's wealthy. So we're going to maybe change that Henry around a little bit. All right. If you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor, share it with your friends, family members, anybody who you know would be also interested in this Henry idea. As always, there are links to Dan and all the episode sponsors in the show notes. I'll see you back here in a few days for a new episode.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com. Well, you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.